Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
Gene. Ron won't be joining us today. That was Gene. Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
Hi.
Rob, I understand that you recently had a medical procedure to reduce the size of your enlarged prostate.
Yes, I have.
Wow. Well, before we talk about that procedure, maybe we should talk about what a prostate is.
Sure. According to WebMD, the prostate is a walnut-sized gland located between the bladder and the penis. So it's in men. The prostate is just in front of the rectum, which is why a physician does a rectal exam when evaluating a patient for a prostate issue. The urethra runs through the center of the prostate, from the bladder to the penis, letting urine flow out of the body. An enlarged prostate is called a benign prostatic hyperplasia. We're just going to call it BPH from now on.
Yeah, let's do that.
And this is one of the most common urological diseases among men. It is characterized by a benign or non-cancerous overgrowth of tissue around the urethra, which ultimately constricts the urethral opening, resulting in a urinary urgency, frequency, nocturnal need to urinate, or when the increased need to urinate when you fall asleep, incomplete urination, and a weak urinary stream. If left untreated, complications such as urinary retention, renal insufficiency, and bladder stones can occur. And that could lead to a more intensive surgery needed, you know, later on.
That's right. And as men get older, it's very common for the prostate to even get larger. Actually, it starts growing at about the age of 25.
That's right. And about 52% of men will be affected by an enlarged prostate by the age of 60. And by the age of 85, that number jumps to 90%. Gene, what is the purpose of the prostate?
The prostate secretes fluid that nourishes and protects sperm. During ejaculation, the prostate squeezes the fluid into the urethra, and it's expelled with sperm as semen.
And Rob, what symptoms first led you to seek out medical care?
Typical symptoms were, but are not limited to, trouble starting to urinate. I had strained or I was pushing too hard. My stream was weak, and the ability to stop and start several times. Pee dribbles at the end of this.
And that was all your symptoms?
Not all of them, but yes,
I had. What other ones did you have?
Mainly the one that at night where you're waking up too much.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I guess that's really common.
Very common.
I'm amazed to hear how common issues with the prostate are.
Me too.
Rob, did you talk about your symptoms right away with your doctor, or is it something that your doctor discovered on an examination that you had an enlarged prostate?
No, I had talked to my doctor about this because of prostate cancer ran in my family.
Oh, okay.
So after many years of actually fighting this disease, mm-hmm. It came up with they diagnosed me with an enlarged prostate.
Okay. All right. And was your doctor able to feel the enlarged prostate during the exam?
Yes, he was.
Okay. And from what I've read about benign prostatic hyperplasia, we're going to call that BPH. It's a hard word to say. If caught early enough, when the prostate is just starting to restrict the flow of the urethra, there are several non-invasive ways to treat the condition. Is that right?
Correct.
So what are the non-invasive ways, like medications?
Well, from what I've read,
there
are drugs and medications. For example, there are medications like beta blockers that you typically hear about with a heart condition. And they can be taken to help relax the muscles involved in urination, or hormone blockers to block the growth of the prostate. And those may help in a number of cases. And it's best to talk to your healthcare team about the best possible treatment options for you.
Okay.
And they may be able to tailor a treatment protocol just for you.
Okay. And then what other therapies are available?
Well, what they did, they put me on a drug called finasteride.
Okay.
And that was to reduce my prostate.
Okay.
Oh, so there's actually drugs that will reduce the size.
Correct.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
But
did that help?
As I said, I've been fighting this for 10 years, and obviously it didn't.
Well, that's a long time.
It didn't really reduce the size of it.
Right, right. So the symptoms stayed the same, or?
No, the symptoms were, well, kind of the same, but eventually, which I was never told, it completely shut off my ability to urinate.
And that's, right, that's the emergency position where...
Right.
That's what they worry about.
In medieval times, they would use a...
okay, here we go.
A hollow grass or reed as a catheter.
Wow.
When you had an enlarged prostate and weren't able to urinate.
Jean goes back in time at times, you know, and she just checks all these
history
things.
History is very important to
it
us.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
Thankfully, today, they have catheters that are more flexible and different sizes and are far more comfortable for people to use.
Very correct. And as my doctor stated, it was a get-out-of-jail card.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that they were able, you know, the fact that you were under doctor's care for so long, he was kind of right on it, and you kind of knew what to expect, right?
Of course, you're assuming.
No,
well, no, you
no.
didn't know what to expect. But when it happened, you knew that it must have had something to do with it, right?
I was never told that the possibility of
completely stopping
urinating
could be an actual
problem. So.
Okay, right.
Well, is this something you've talked about with your family, with your brothers and your father?
Because it's hereditary?
I've talked to it with my brothers. My father has passed away. So I have talked to them with my brothers, and none of them seem to have this problem.
Are they that old? I mean, not that you're that old. Are they old? Are they younger men right now? Okay. Oh, well, yeah, they say that it's, typically around 60 is when it really starts to show up.
So they're lucky to have you.
Yeah, they are. You're the guinea pig right now.
Well, but they're all over 50, so
they're
going
to
be
need to keep an eye on
right.
it.
Right, they got to keep an eye on it. Right. Okay. Well, okay.
I understand that there are some other options.
Right.
For treatment, for example, there's something called TUMT, and during this procedure, microwaves are used to destroy prostate tissue with heat, and this is an outpatient procedure. There's another option called TUNA.
TUNA? I love TUNA.
Just open up a can, slap it on there, topically. No, for this procedure, two needles are used to burn a specific region of the prostate.
Okay.
And there's another possible medical treatment that involves the use of water.
Drinking?
No, actually, hot water is delivered, and this is a medical procedure under controlled circumstances. Hot water is delivered through a catheter into a treatment balloon that sits in the center of the prostate, and a computer controls this procedure, and it actually provides so much heat that in that defined specific area of the prostate that that tissue is broken up, but neighboring tissues are actually protected. So the heat destroys the problematic tissue, and then the tissue is just automatically excreted with the urine stream, or it's reabsorbed naturally into the body.
Yeah, right. I think I'd pass on that one.
Well,
I mean, I'm just saying, that sounds a little...
It's not like you're going to be feeling...
Heat? Hot water? Hot enough to melt tissue? It's going to go through your,
Okay, deep breath.
Okay.
They can use anesthetics. Local anesthetics, you're not going to feel this either any of those procedures.
Okay. And if those treatments are not effective, your healthcare team can recommend a laser treatment for this procedure. I've heard that a thin laser scope is used to gradually remove the excess tissue. Another possible treatment is a surgical procedure during which a surgical tool is used to cut back the tissue. Or a small incision is made in the neck of the bladder to open up space for the ureter to pass. If none of these procedures are effective, then your healthcare provider may recommend the surgical removal of part of the prostate.
Or complete removal of the prostate.
Very, very seldom do they
Yes. Okay.
Well, that's right. And in my situation, I had the very first one, which was actually the heat.
Did it hurt?
Yes, it.
Oh, see,
we're gonna get to that.
Well,
okay.
It doesn't hurt. As in hurt, it's very annoying.
Okay.
And then the hurting comes in the after effect of when you start to being able to, which I am able to, urinate again.
Okay. All right.
Rob, could you tell us more about your procedure? Were you nervous before you went in? Was there any, you said that there was, it was uncomfortable, but was there actually like pain or was it just discomfort? How long was the procedure and was it outpatient or inpatient? And just in case that wasn't enough, how long was your recovery and what has your recovery been like?
Okay, start from the top, Rob.
Well, yes, the procedure, I was nervous because, you know, anytime you even the thought about getting something that, you know, taken care of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, definitely makes you nervous. So.
Definitely.
But I did go, it was an outpatient procedure.
Okay.
Which took about 3 hours.
Okay.
That's a long time.
Actually, it was 3 hours with the anesthesia.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they knocked you out?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes, so I guess the real procedure was only like an hour and a half, and then it was 2 hours of recovering from the anesthesia.
Okay.
And as far as pain, you definitely felt no pain. The biggest problem was the catheter that you were able to take home for a little prize, but that was no fun.
No. So. You know, catheters can sometimes cause infections.
Okay.
But that's exactly what I have right now.
Oh, okay.
I've obtained a infection, a bacterial infection.
See?
Okay. So that's something to watch out for. Did they tell you that was a possibility?
Again, no. I mean, they're looking at the bright side of everything.
This is why we have our podcast,
so that
people hear all of the different possibilities.
Right, that's something to be aware of.
Yes.
That's a possibility.
So you're having to take antibiotics then?
Yeah, antibiotics, exactly.
Okay.
Do they give you, do they recommend cranberry juice as they do
for women? They have cranberry juice.
And,
now, I heard that that's not really...
It's supposed to affect the pH, I thought, of your...
Correct.
Okay. All right.
We'll post more on our website.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Right.
But don't you feel like at least for your family, you are going through all these things, and then once your brothers might get to that stage, or probably, you know, over 50%, at least one of your brothers will probably get to that stage, that... You can let them know what to expect. And it's not something to be afraid of, that you got through it and you're doing great and you're very happy you went through it, right?
Correct. I mean, it's definitely awareness is the key.
And, sure.
Doing these, getting yourself able to go to a urologist, first of all, a specialist.
Okay.
Not really a specialist, but, and making sure you're, you know, taking care of your body with the exercise.
Sure, okay.
Sure.
Good.
Well, Rob, do you have any additional tips, hints, or helpful advice for our listeners? What do you wish you had known going into this? And what really helped you the most during this whole journey?
Well, the biggest tip I would have to say is definitely listen to your body. Because if you start to get like aches in your, like your knees or your ankles, mm-hmm. well, that's probably because you're retaining liquids or fluids somewhere.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking that it's just part of getting old. Well, something else is going on.
Okay.
So make sure you listen to your body and be aware.
That's a wonderful tip.
Right, for sure. And we just talked to somebody last week, and she was talking about pelvic floor exercises for men and women.
And women, right.
And pelvic floor exercises are very important to help keep everything in the pelvis working properly. And if you have anything that might be off a little bit, it doesn't have to go with old age. You can do these exercises, which not many people even know about them.
Right, because when you hear the word Kegel,
you ever heard of that?
Women doing Kegel exercises. But I guess men
should do them too.
Yeah, and they can do them also.
Right.
Did your
therapist tell you about those?
He had mentioned it to me, but he really didn't get into any specifics because he said if you were leaking, they call it leaking, and I didn't have any of those symptoms.
Okay, but that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there, I understand that there are some things that you can do to actually keep your prostate healthy, and you had mentioned exercise as an example.
So, Rob, why don't you tell us what John Hopkins says?
Well, yes, according to John Hopkins Medicine, maintaining a healthy diet, get some sun, you know, not too much, you know, no sunburns.
Right.
Get screened for prostate cancer. If you're at a high risk for prostate cancer, you may want to screen starting at your age of like 40.
Okay.
Otherwise, they recommend that you start prostate cancer screening at the age of 55.
Okay.
Also, according to the Harvard Medical School, there are several things that you and yourself can do to combat frequent urination.
Okay.
and as in everything else, is reducing stress.
All right.
Which is a big factor to most people.
Sure.
And then when you go to the bathroom, you should take the time to empty your bladder completely, which is another thing that you think you are doing, but you really, really doesn't really happen, especially as you get older.
Well, I guess if the prostate is enlarged, you might not be able to empty it completely, right? I mean, did you have the urge, like, you were done, but you knew you had to go more?
Well, I never had the urge that I had to go more, but after doing this testing, because what they do is they make you actually urinate into a measuring type of cup,
mm-hmm.
and this will tell you how much that you still have left inside of you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it might not be something you're even aware of.
Yeah, no, you're not. Some people, and what happened in my specific situation, mm-hmm. I guess my bladder had grown so large
uh-huh.
that it was able to retain all this
urination. Okay, okay. Got it. All right. Any other tips from Harvard?
Well, yes. And then they definitely want you to, you know, talk to your doctor about any prescriptions and over-the-counter medication.
Yeah, those might contribute to the issue also, I guess.
Sure, sure.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Well, Rob, thank you very much for joining our show today.
Yes, Rob. Thank you for joining the show, and I think we've all learned a lot.
I had
no idea that this was an issue that affected so many people,
mm-hmm.
or that you needed to be vigilant at such a young age.
Right. Actually, I had one question. I know we're not talking about prostate cancer,
mm-hmm.
but you said that it runs in your family, so...
Well, enlarged prostate or prostate cancer?
Well, my dad had...
he had cancer?
Prostate
okay.
cancer.
Okay.
But
okay.
maybe back then they didn't really know all the situations.
Right. Yeah. Right. So because of that, are members of your family having to get screened at an earlier age?
Well, I hope they are, but I mean, I can only let them know. I'm
right.
not sure if they have or not.
Okay. All right. So all you could do is pass on the word.
Okay. You don't want to say bend over, let me check out your prostate.
I don't think so. That's not how you start a family party. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
You can get rid of that comment, Jack. I'd appreciate it. Bonus payment for you. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.